Thanks, Marcus, for reading for us. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to Cross Life Church. Also, welcome to those who are joining us online. Thanks for joining us in that way. It is good to be back, and thank you for all of those who have been praying for me and my family and everyone else who's been sick as well. It's been much appreciated, and God has answered our prayers there. Oh, I don't know if God has answered your prayers. Maybe you were hoping that you'd get another pastor or something like that. I'm not sure. My name is Michael. I am one of the pastors of this church, and I'm going to be speaking from that passage that Marcus read, as well as from a lot of other passages in Proverbs, on the topic of wisdom in speech. Proverbs has a lot to say about the words that come out of our mouths, what they should sound like, what the intentions should be there. It has a lot of helpful wisdom and guidance, and hopefully that will help us in our relationships, in our speech as well. I'm going to lead us in prayer as we head into God's word, so please join with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you are the God who always speaks the truth and always speaks for people's building up. And so please help us today as you speak to us in Proverbs, so that in our speech we may be wise like you are. In Jesus' name, amen. In January 2021, Lord Sumption, a former UK Supreme Court Justice, was asked his opinion on COVID lockdowns. He argued against lockdowns, and the argument was that they mainly protect the elderly rather than the young. He said that lockdowns involve a large portion of the population making sacrifices for only a small portion of the population. And in support of his argument, he famously said on British television, "I don't accept that all lives are of equal value." That one line caused a storm of outrage and controversy in newspapers and TV shows for a whole week. But he didn't stop there. He doubled down on it. Because a cancer sufferer came up to him and said to him, again on national TV, "With all due respect, I am the person who you say their life is not valuable." And Lord Sumption then replied, "I didn't say your life was not valuable. I said it was less valuable." Now, there's probably a decent debate to be had in the thoughts behind Lord Sumption's words. You know, he's in government, he's not a pastor, he's not a theologian or an ethicist, and when you are in government, sadly, you do have to weigh up the value of human lives, you do have to put a dollar value on them. But all I want to say from these quotes is that the words that we speak have great power to get us into trouble. Like Lord Sumption, words can get us into trouble with the public. Words end friendships, or words cause friendships to drift apart, and often we don't know what it was that we said. Words end marriages. Words start wars. Words start social media wars. Words lose people their jobs. And we should not be surprised at this, because this is exactly what the Bible says. James chapter 3, verses 5 to 8 says this about our words. It says, "So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison." More of our lives is determined by the words that we say than we might recognize. And that's why Proverbs gives us so much wisdom on how not to be a deadly poison with our words, and instead calls us to speak in a way that promotes truth and peace and wisdom. We've been seeing from the last few weeks that Proverbs is a wisdom book in the Bible. It contains a whole lot of sayings on how to walk rightly with God and how to walk rightly in this world that he has created. It's basically how to live in step with reality as God has made it. In the past few weeks, we've looked at Proverbs on work and on wealth, and Proverbs now also has a lot to say about our speech. And we're going to see that in three areas Proverbs kind of speaks into kind of the speech that we give. And the first one is restraint, the second one is truth, and the third one is love. And so firstly, restraint in our speech. And the overall message in Proverbs is clear on the topic of restraint. Fools speak what is on their minds. Wise people speak less than what is on their minds. Have a look at Proverbs 17, verse 28. It says, "Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent." Now, do you want to appear intelligent in the eyes of the world? Well, the best way to do that is not to buy yourself a pair of glasses. It's not to clip a bunch of pens into the front pocket of your shirt. It's not to use long and impressive sounding words that you don't quite know the meaning of. Now, the best way to look wise is to hold back your speech. You'll look like you're thinking, contemplating, weighing, doing the things that intelligent people do. It's kind of interesting that the quote in our culture is almost the opposite of that. Have you heard it? People attribute it to either Abraham Lincoln or Mark Twain. It's the quote that goes, "It is better to stay silent and look like an idiot than to open your mouth and remove all doubt." You know, on the one hand, both of them are kind of saying the same thing. You know, they're both saying that you do look smarter if you don't speak. But there's a difference in what is assumed about a person, isn't there? You know, one assumes that a silent person looks stupid. The other one assumes that a silent person looks clever. And I think that's actually a bit of a reflection of the difference in values of our culture. Our culture values quick responses, sharp and witty remarks, memorable catchphrases, entertaining stories, and ideas that can be expressed in 140 characters or less. You know, staying silent in that culture looks foolish. But maybe it's not. Because the Bible's culture, on the other hand, seems to value more things like contemplation, reflection, meditation on the scriptures. And in that kind of culture, there is a wisdom to staying silent. Also, Proverbs 12:23, "A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims folly." And it's saying here, wise people have more wisdom than they actually say. You know, they have wisdom, but they also have the wisdom to know when and how to dispense their wisdom. And by concealing knowledge, they make sure that everything that they say is wise. Whereas a foolish person, on the other hand, they speak more than the little wisdom they have. They can't stop talking, and whatever little wisdom they do have is swallowed up in the foolishness of the rest of their speech. There is a restraint, as a self-control in a person's speech that comes with wisdom. When I was a medical student, there were some patients in hospital. All you wanted to know was what was wrong with them. But they were so talkative, so long-winded, that the medical specialist who was interviewing them would leave the room and then quietly remark to us that he diagnosed his patients with verbal diarrhea. You know, wisdom is the opposite of that. It's not feeling the urge to say everything that is on your mind. In ministry, I've heard people defend some of the things that they've said with rationalizations like, "I'm just saying what I feel," or "I have to stand up for myself," or "I have to get my point across." In the Bible, those are not good enough reasons to say something. The function of your speech is not to let people know what is on your mind. The Bible says our speech is for encouragement, for building up, for helping others, for the dispensing of wisdom and truth. Now, if what you feel helps with that, then sure, you go ahead and speak. But if it doesn't, there is wisdom in holding back your speech. Wise people show restraint. And they also show restraint by not responding to others when they provoke them. And that's what you see in Proverbs 12:16. It says, "The vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult." See, a wise person hears and knows when someone else is just trying to start a fight. And they know not to take the bait. It's like the internet saying, "Do not feed the trolls," but it works in everyday life as well. Whether it is some sort of random person on Twitter, or whether it's a family member who is looking for faults, or maybe just a bully wanting to feel big about themselves, if you're wise, you don't feel the need to defensively say how good you actually are. You won't feel the need to win the argument. It's not likely that you will anyway against a fool. Proverbs says that as well. You can just walk away. there is a restraint there as well. The wisdom of Proverbs reveals a lot about our world. Proverbs shows us that there are too many words in our world and too many people using them. And instead of our culture's emphasis on self-expression and spontaneity, Proverbs calls wise people to show restraint and self-control in their speech. And once you have that restraint, you'll actually be able to do what the rest of Proverbs says we should do with our speech. And Proverbs has a lot of stuff on speech, but we're going to distill it down into two main themes here. First one is truth. Second one is love. So first, speaking truth. Have a look at Proverbs 8:8-9. This is wisdom speaking. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. You know, these are the kinds of words that wise people speak. Wise people are straight with people. They speak what is true and what is righteous. There's nothing twisted or crooked in their words. There are no hidden agendas, no false faces, no saying one thing to someone's face and another thing behind their back. There is an integrity to their speech. In our world, truth is often discarded in the name of marketing or an agenda, or in the name of pleasing customers or voters or workers. Philosophically, truth nowadays is often seen as a lot less important than things like lived experience or a good story. But Christians are people who would rather sacrifice all those things than sacrifice the truth. Because we follow a Lord and Savior who said that he was the way, the truth, and the life, and that everyone on the side of truth listens to him. Now, truth versus falsehood is pretty uncontroversial, though. I think most of us would probably agree that it is better to tell the truth than to tell lies. But what Proverbs also does is it exposes the things that we do that we think are fine that actually get in the way of truth. And so firstly, truth versus opinion. Proverbs gives us another dimension to truth that we would do well to take on board. You see it in Proverbs 18:2. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Notice here, opinions are different from wisdom and understanding. Opinions are different from truth. And it is a fool who cannot tell the difference between truth and opinion. It's a fool who expresses their opinion as absolute truth. Christians do not hold to the postmodern idea that there are no facts, only opinions. Christians believe in truth because we believe in a God who is trustworthy and true, and he declares to us things as they are. God doesn't just tell us his opinion. And believing in that kind of God will shape the way that we speak as well. You know, we are in a world where often opinions, impressions, hot takes are often enough for people. All people want to hear is what people think. But Christians see that as an astonishingly low bar to set. What Christians want is truth. Because any fool has an opinion. But not anyone is able to speak the truth. Secondly, there's a contrast between truth and flattery in Proverbs. Saying nice things about someone that you don't really mean, that is also the opposite of truth. Proverbs 26:28 says, a lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin. And Proverbs 29:5, a man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. Notice how here, flattery is basically lying. And it doesn't help, no matter how much the flatterer thinks it might help. There's a quote that goes, when you want to help people, you tell them the truth. When you want to help yourself, you tell them what they want to hear. Telling people what they want to hear does not help them. It puffs people up. It just kicks people down the road. It pulls people out of reality. It leaves them in a delusion. And in contrast to flattery, Proverbs speaks of the wisdom of godly rebuke. 28:23, whoever rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters with his tongue. to rebuke is to show or expose the wrong that a person has done. And so Proverbs is saying that when it comes to a person's fault, it's better to be the good cop. Sorry, no, it's better to be the bad cop than the good cop. And notice there also the word afterward, which I think is really, really significant. I think it's very wise. You know, most people do not appreciate rebuke while they are being rebuked. It is uncomfortable. But afterward, wise people generally soften to it and appreciate it. Proverbs 27:6 as well says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy." Just because someone makes you feel bad does not mean that they are an enemy. And just because someone makes you feel good does not mean that they are a friend. A true friend is going to tell you if you are making a mess of your life. They're not just going to leave you to it. But the other thing that this proverb reveals, though, is you kind of have to be a friend first, don't you? You know, wounding other people, making people feel bad does not automatically make you a friend either. Being a friend makes you a friend. And so it's having that relationship that allows the rebukes and the wounds to get through. Now, we are in a world where many people are fishing for flattery. Many people want the world to tell them that they are beautiful or smart or talented. Instead of flattering them, why not instead point them to the God who loves them through Jesus, regardless of how beautiful or smart or talented they are? And many people who've done sinful things and struggle with that in their conscience want the world to tell them that what they did was right. Instead of flattering them, why not instead point them to the God who takes our sins on himself on the cross? Because Christians value truth above flattery. And the last bit of truth that we see in Proverbs is truth versus concealment. Proverbs 28 verse 13. "Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy." There is no point in hiding your sins from God. You know, God knows anyway when you sin. And those that do hide their sins from God by not praying to God about them or not confessing them to church, it's a sign that they are walking in sin, they want to continue walking in sin, and they do not want to be found out. And Proverbs is saying that that will not end well. It's going to end in judgment. But confession of sins and repentance from sins, turning your life around, it leads to mercy from God. Because our God is a forgiving God who has sent his son Jesus to die for us. And so what does it mean for Christians to speak the truth? Well, it means that they stay away from falsehood and lying. It means that they stay away from mere opinions. It means that they stay away from flattery. And it means that they do not hide their sins and transgressions. That's what it means in Proverbs to speak the truth. But just speaking the truth is not enough either. You know, Proverbs calls Christians to an even higher standard than just truth. It calls Christians to speak the truth in love. So have a look at Proverbs 10, verse 11. It says, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence." And Proverbs 11, verse 12, "Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent." You know, it's easy to be the kind of person in church that goes around finding fault in everyone. Such a person might say that they are speaking the truth in love when actually their words are just a cover for their own insecurity or their own need to feel better than other people. And for those people, Proverbs is saying that it is better not to say anything at all. In contrast, Proverbs 12:18 says, "There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." The goal when we speak to people is not to hurt them, but to heal them. We want them to grow in wisdom. And finally, Proverbs 15, verse 1, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Now, there is nothing inherently good about being harsh. You know, there was a mentality in Christian circles for a while about, you know, people saying stuff like, "Oh, the truth hurts, doesn't it?" Or "Suck it up, princess," or "Drink a glass of concrete and harden up." You know, those kinds of things. Christians saying those kinds of things. That dismissive, compassionless attitude. It's not wisdom. You know, there is benefit when we speak the truth to people in taking the time firstly to pray whether it needs to be said. And then if it does, praying that we will say it lovingly and truthfully, and taking the time to think of the words that we will use so they are not rash or harsh or hurtful, but instead bring healing. That's what it means to speak wisely in love. And so how do we avoid getting into trouble with our words? Well, it's not too complex, actually, according to Proverbs. It's basically, if whatever you want to say is neither true nor loving, do not say it. If it is true but not loving, don't say it. If it is loving but not true, don't say it. You know, you only say it if it is true and loving. Now, the real problem is not so much knowing that, but actually doing it, isn't it? And that's why we need restraint. We need to be able to filter our words so that only the good comes out. But if we do that, we will be truly wise in our speech, bringing truth, wisdom, and healing to the world. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks that you are the God who speaks wisdom to your people. Please help us to be people who speak the truth in love to others. Please help us to be people who show the kind of restraint that you call us to, the kind of self-control over our words, to not just express ourselves, but to want to bring goodness and wisdom and truth to the people around us in love. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.